weeks ago in one house, 18 of us all together. And let me tell you, there were one or two times I wanted to just grab them all and say, would you just stop and listen? But when you've got a bunch of little kids, you want to hear all the noise until 10 o'clock at night, and then you want to disappear. Jesus is saying, will you listen? Here is what I want you to remember of all of my teachings. And then he begins like this. I want you to go into Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the Spirit to come on you, and you will be... I'm just going to stop there for a minute. I love teaching the book of Acts. I love having students who want to get into God's Word. And as I go through this section, I always encourage them to ask questions. Now, the reason I encourage them to ask questions is called class participation. If you're a good professor, you understand that some students do well on exams, some do well on papers, and some do well in communicating with the voice. And so I give communication points to my students in the class. And what's interesting is they know that if they will respond to my question, they will get extra points. And so I'll say, so you will be, what part of speech is that? And invariably, I've got a student go, ooh, Mr. Stein, I know what it is. And I'll say, what is it? And they'll go, future tense. Now, you have to understand, most students have not had English since sixth grade. Oh, they've had some English comp, and they've had reading, and they've had this writing that it really doesn't matter what you say, you're just expressing yourself. And I'll look at them, and I'll go, future tense, That means Jesus is saying sometime in the nebulous future, you are to do this. Not. My dad understood what you will be meant. You will be is actually the imperative. Now, you guys look just like my students. Your eyes have glazed over. The imperative, that's worse than future tense. At least future, you've got a clue. Imperative, not. My dad would say, Terry, you will take out the trash. That meant sometime tomorrow or next week or whenever I got around to it. No, the imperative is a command. Jesus says, you have no choice but to do what I tell you to do. You will be. I don't like that. I really don't. I'm a red-blooded American, and red-blooded Americans, we want to pick and choose. It's sort of like eating. I love to eat. You can tell that. I mean, you could have told it more a couple of months ago before I lost 40 pounds, but I love to pick and choose. And so I like to go to buffets. How many of you like buffets? Oh, yeah, I thought so. A buffet, when you go into the buffet, what's the first line? Salad. You know, I can remember my mom. She would open the refrigerator door, and inside there would be some things in the back that were green, and she'd tell me, oh, those are moldy, don't eat them. I figured this first line's green, so I'm not eating them. I go to the second line in the buffet. What's in the second line? Carbs. Yes, carbs and protein, meats, potatoes, breads. You're starting to salivate, aren't you? That fried chicken that's got the grease coming off of it. It is so good. That's where I would like to graze. But there is a third line. What's the third line in a buffet? Sugar. No, it's good. It's the dessert. And guess what? I'm a diabetic. Ooh, yeah. No, I have found the perfect diabetic dessert that's on almost all buffet lines. It's made with carrots and nuts and dairy products. It's called carrot cake. It ought to be in the vegetable line. And so I like to go and get the carrot cake, and my wife slaps it out of my hand. I like to pick and choose. How about you? I do. And people do that with their spiritual life. It's sort of like, I want this, but I don't want that. I'm going to take this section of my Bible and throw it away, but you know what? I'm going to focus here. Jesus said, if you are my follower, you have no choice but to do what I tell you to do. And here's what he told them. You will be my witness. Stop. Again, it's another question time in my Acts class. My witness. What is a witness? And invariably, I get a student, and the student will say, it's someone who sits in front of a judge, puts their hand on the Bible, and says, I will swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And I'll go, congratulations, you watch Judge Judy. But that's not what it means. And they go, really? Seriously? That's what witness is? And I'll go, you know what? Just a couple of chapters later, there's a young man standing in front of the Sanhedrin, the same Sanhedrin who killed Jesus. This young man is giving a testimony, and he is called the first Christian. His name's Stephen. The first Christian martyr. Same word. The word that's used here that is translated witness is really martyr. Jesus says, if you are my follower, you will be my martyr. You will be my witness to the death, whether it's the end of the spear or your last breath. I get tired of Christians who say, you know what? I have done this for 5 years. I'm going to let someone else do it. My dad is now 93 years old. He's in High Hill, Missouri. Dad is finally almost in the house all the time. But I remember just a couple of years ago, he was 89. And at 89, he challenged the men of the congregation. He said, there's a little lady out here in the country. She doesn't have a garage door that opens automatically. It was one of the old wooden ones that, you know, you had to try and lift. And she couldn't get the thing lifted. And my dad said, let's go out and put in a new garage door. And the young men, those guys 60 years old and 65, they're going, well, we can't do it. My dad said, sure we can. We just go and do it. Dad went to Lowe's. He bought the door. He bought the opener. He got a bunch of them shamed into helping him. And they went out. I mean, when you've got a guy who's that old, yeah, you can do it. And so they went out and they replaced the door, and he still tells about when she hit that button and that door went up, she was so thrilled. Now that was not burning out. My dad said, that wasn't rusting out. My dad said, I will burn out before I rust out. And that's how we as Christians ought to be. We never give up being his witness until we draw our last breath. Now, I want to instill that in the lives of my students at St. Louis Christian College. If you'll send me students, I promise you, I will help them to understand. You don't give up when things get tough. Ministry is not all about fun and games. Ministry is not easy. I ought to have Adam come up here. I won't do that to you. You're on vacation, semi-vacation this morning, and so I won't do that. But he could tell you it's not always easy. There are one or two people who are challenges in every congregation. I was the 11th minister in 12 years at St. Peter's. Yeah, in the 12 years before I got there, they had 11 ministers. And you talk about a challenge. I was told you don't want to go there. And I said, why not? You talk about a mission field. It was wide open. And it was. I stayed 8.5 years. The last 2 years, we were the fastest growing Christian church in the St. Louis area. Why? Because we were focused not on ourselves and not on the congregation, but on Jesus and Jesus' command to be his witness. Now he continues and he tells us where. And when he says where, it's also how. He says, you will be, have no choice, but to be my witness in Jerusalem. Now the way I look at Jerusalem is that's the people that are the most like you and who know you the best, and you know them the best. It's called family. Sometimes it's easier to be a witness to the pygmies in Africa than it is to your family. I mean, to maybe an unbelieving mom or dad or brother or sister or aunt or uncle or grandma or grandpa. Yeah, I see some of you nodding. Quit looking at the person next to you. A couple of you, you stopped. We as Christians need to witness to our families. That's hard. But Jesus says, you have no choice. You will be my witness to the people who know you best and who you know best. I remember a number of years ago, Harry Pitts was our home church preacher. Well, he wasn't. He was going to be. He was coming to O'Fallon, Missouri, my home church, and it was on a Wednesday night when a preacher sneaks out and preaches to find out if they're going to hire him away from the church that he's in. And Gail Pitts was there, and she saw this boy out in front of the church building banging another boy's head into the concrete, and she turned to her husband and said, I don't want to go to this church. Our two boys and our daughter are going to be influenced by those elders' boys. At least that's the way she introduced me when I preached at their church in Lebanon, Indiana, years later. Neil Flowers and I, we were best buddies. It was just my turn on a Wednesday night to bang his head into the concrete. The next week, he'd be banging mine. It's embarrassing sometimes the things that people know about us. Get over it, Jesus says. You will be my witness to the people who know you the best. They know the good, the bad, and the ugly. But be his witness. Now, he goes from there and he says, you will be my witness to those who are in Judea and Samaria. Judea. Judea, that would be like the United States. The United States, they all speak the same language, right? More or less. All the same culture. Better than if you live in a foreign country, but still there's some differences there. There are some difficulties. But Jesus says, get over the difficulties. You start relating to people who are different than you, but it's not that difficult to speak your language to them. But then he gets really down and dirty. He says, you will be my witnesses to Samaritans. Now, Samaritans, who are they? They're the people we don't like. They're the people we're prejudiced against. I know we're not prejudiced against anybody. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. I remember a couple of years ago, a young man in the Chicago area called me in Mexico City, and he said, Terry, he said, I've started this Hispanic church plant. He was Hispanic. He said, we get a lot of Hispanics here in Chicago, and they come to the church, but the church isn't growing. They'll be there for maybe a month, and then all of a sudden they're gone, and I don't understand why the church isn't growing. And I, on the phone from Mexico City, said, where are the people from? He said, from Guatemala, España, Cuba, from El Salvador, from Mexico. I said, they don't like each other. He said, oh, yes, they do. Us Latinos, we love everybody who's Latino. I said, no, no, no. On the bottom of the newspaper, and this is the truth, in Mexico City, it was like a baseball score in the mornings. And it would tell how many Guatemalans the Mexican government shot coming across the river into Mexico to take Mexican jobs. They didn't like the Guatemalans. And the Guatemalans didn't like them. And the Mexicans didn't like the Cubans. And the Cubans didn't like the Puerto Ricans because they spoke so fast. The Spaniards didn't like the others because Spain is where all of the aristocrats are and everyone else is poor. He said, that's not true. I said, ask him. He asked him. He called me back. He said, it's true. Now, who are we prejudiced against? It's not necessarily race. It could be wealthy people. I mean, how did they get to be that wealthy? They have to be dealing drugs. How about poor people? They're poor because they're ignorant and they don't care. How about the person outside of Walmart with the sign that says, I'll be truthful, just give me a dollar so I can get a drink. Yeah, they need to get a job. We don't like the wealthy. We don't like the highly educated. You know, if you've got a PhD, it's piled higher and drier. We just don't like those people. How about the people who'd never finished sixth grade? You see what I'm saying? There are people that we don't like and who don't like us and we don't get together with them well. Jesus said, get over it. You have no choice but to be my witness to the people that you don't like and who don't like you. And finally, he says, you will be my witness to the ends of the earth. Now, that seems to be the easiest. You know why it's the easiest? You pay missionaries to go. And you support them and you listen to the success stories. They rarely tell you bad stories. Although this morning on my Facebook, I noticed that Ajay Lal sent a note that one of our missionaries, one of the preachers in central India, died last night. He was martyred for his faith. Around the world, we have Christians who are being martyred for their faith more now than at any other time in history. And yet it's easier for us to pay a missionary to go than to ourselves go. Jesus said, "If you are my follower, you will be my witness, beginning with the people who you like, the people who are like you, the people who you don't like, and finally to the rest of the world." Do you know the rest of the world is here? I remember a number of years ago, my major is in missiology and homiletics. I love missiology. I love missions. I spent the 20 years in Mexico City. From Mexico City, we went back into the mountains to the Nahuatl tribe. The Nahuatl tribe is a tribal group called the Aztecs. And the Aztecs hated Christianity. In fact, we were doing medical work, and I remember being told we have to be out before dark because they shoot evangelicals like us. They really did. This morning, as we're here, there are 8 congregations of the Nahuatl tribe who are celebrating Jesus Christ around the Lord's table. I leave for Mexico on Thursday. I will be down there for 10 days. It's the 50th anniversary of Niños de Mexico, and I will be worshiping with the Nahuatl tribe. I'll be worshiping with the Mexican people in Mexico City. I'll be talking to the government officials about the success of 50 years. When I talked about coming to St. Louis Christian College, I had people say, "Why in the world would you go there? You don't want to live in Florissant and Ferguson, Missouri, where the college is. Students will be shot and they'll be burned and they'll be raped. And it's a terrible place to live." My wife and I intentionally chose an ethnically diverse neighborhood to live in Florissant, 6 minutes from the college. Let me tell you, it's a beautiful place. It's a place where people have come together from all over the world. There are people there from Bosnia, people from other countries that don't even speak English yet, but they are learning about Jesus Christ because we're living there, because St. Louis Christian College is a light in the midst of turmoil, because it's a light in the midst of ethnic diversity, because Jesus Christ reigns. The mission of St. Louis Christian College is to raise up students who understand God's word with excellence and who are his witnesses, beginning in the urban settings, going to the suburban settings, the rural settings, and global missions. But guess what? That's not St. Louis Christian College's mission. That's my mission. That's your mission. That's this church's mission. That is the mission of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as I get ready to close, let me challenge you. Think about what Jesus said. If you are my follower, you have no choice but to listen to me, to do what I'm telling you to do. Jesus came and died for us, but he came and died for them. And because of that, we are to be his witnesses, beginning here and going there. Just a couple verses later, down around verse 10 and 11, it says that they're still standing on the mount and they're looking up into the heavens and they're rejoicing and praising God. And I can just imagine Thomas is going, "I think he's behind the cloud that looks like a rabbit." And Peter's going, no, it's the one that looks like an elephant. And John is going, "I think he's coming back right now behind that one." And two men dressed in white walk up and go, forgot that was glass. I hope I didn't break it. When men are dressed in white in Scripture, guess what? They're angels. Two angels have come, and they've asked Pete, what in the world are you doing? And he said, we're praising God. What were you told to do? Oh, to go into Jerusalem and wait for the Spirit. And so why aren't you doing it? If the angels of God had to ask Peter and Andrew and James and John, what are you doing? And remind them of the mission, guess what, this morning? God, from His throne in heaven, His Spirit who envelopes us this morning, is saying the same thing. What are you doing? Are you just standing in awe of God? Or are you His witness, beginning in Rolla and going to the ends of the earth? I challenge you, get to the ends of the earth for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, it is so good to be here this morning. I thank you for brothers and sisters who love you, who support missions worldwide. More than that, they support your mission right here in Rolla, to students, to young people, to old people, to families and singles. Father, you gave us the mission. Help us to be faithful till you come again. In Jesus' holy name, amen.